It's great to have Murray leading us in worship, you know that? And Murray, what age are you, 19, 20? 20. And it's great to have a 20-year-old leading us, isn't it, on a regular basis in our Sunday morning worship. So we really appreciate that. Thank you, Murray. I want us to turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to look at this story, but as you do that, why don't you turn around and say good morning to one another? I was going to preach on the sinful woman this morning, but I was told by someone that we've had enough of sinful women, and no, that's not true. I better justify that quickly. When you're preparing a sermon and things, or you go to a text, you just feel, actually, this isn't quite right, because we prepare these talks, or the text anyway, a long way in advance, and sometimes as you get closer to actually preaching them. And this is one of those instances. So I've changed the focus this morning as we continue our series, Mission on the Margins. And I want to look at the theme of ingratitude stroke failure this morning. And I want to look at it in terms of the story of the 10 lepers. We've seen as we've been exploring this whole theme of Mission on the Margins that God calls his church to focus on those on the fringes and those on the margins. It's not just those on the fringes and the margins, but actually everyone. But in declaring that God cares for everyone, we have to remember the fringes and the margins. And Luke's gospel very much wants to emphasize this. And so in Luke chapter 3, verse 4, we see the declaration that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And it's this idea, we call it the universality of Luke's gospel. Jesus wants to reach everyone. And that means the socially ostracized as well, not just the nice people, but also the Samaritans. In Jesus' day, women were often marginalized. Actually, not just in Jesus' day, still in our society, women are sometimes marginalized. And Luke has 13 women that aren't mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament in his gospel. And also people who are compromised both sexually and in terms of corruption, in terms of robbers. We have the story of the robber being converted on the cross. And all of these kind of stories demonstrating that Jesus is for everyone, not just for nice people, but for everyone. And over and over again, we have these stories that bring us back to the way that Jesus reached those on the margins. And again, this story of the 10 lepers is another one of these affirmations that Luke's giving us of Jesus reaching those that others don't reach. Lepers in the society that Jesus was part of were very much socially ostracized. They were a little bit like COVID victims. And so they were immediately sent into social isolation. Everybody was terrified of coming into contact with them, and they wanted to keep them completely apart. And they were very regulated. And if you were declared with leprosy in this society, it would probably be the worst thing that would ever happen to you. I mean, it was a horrific situation to find yourself in, because you were going to be cut off from your community, cut off from your family, you were going to be cut off from society. And certainly religion really had not much to do with it, other than they exercised the social control. They were the track and trace of their day. And if you wanted to get declared free of leprosy, you had to go to the priest. And the priest would check you out, check your body to see if there was any marks in terms. And again, leprosy could be any form of skin condition. So you just think about the number of skin conditions that you have, and potentially how that could go. So this group were a disparate, very, very marginalized group. And yet Jesus shows concern and he reaches out. In fact, we read of radical things that Jesus does where he touches lepers. And again, just to do that was so outrageous and shocking. And yet he does. And so we have these 10 lepers. The first thing that's interesting is that one of them is a Samaritan. And what this shows us is that the social divides that were there, because Jews wouldn't really have anything to do with Samaritans. I talked a little bit about this last week and about the divides between the two. That actually, when you were in this position of crisis, everybody just hung out together. You know, if you had leprosy, it didn't matter if you were a Jew or a Samaritan, you were now a leper. And they were kind of all bound together. In fact, that's what often happens. Lepers went and lived in colonies together. But the misfortune didn't respect any social or religious divide. Suddenly, they were all one. Now, when I preach about mission on the margins, we have a tendency to think the margins, well, that's just areas of social deprivation. That's just areas where, you know, poor people live. That's just areas that are seen as the sort of place that you wouldn't want to buy a house because you wouldn't want to send your kids to the school in that area. That's often how we think. But actually, the margins are often encompassing all of us. You know, there's an awful lot of stuff that goes on behind closed doors in middle class and nice neighborhoods. Addiction issues are not limited to particular areas of Stirling. They are right across every area of Stirling and right across our social divides. Abuse doesn't just occur in particular areas. Again, it occurs right across our communities. Mental health issues are, again, not just limited to a particular sector of our society. And I always think one of the dangers that we have in preaching, or I have in preaching about mission on the margins, is that we get the sense of, well, the margins are over there somehow and not really in our nice communities. But the truth is, the margins are found in our own communities as much as they are in some other communities. And we need to recognize this. The second thing that we see in the fact that there was a Samaritan in this group, that Jesus went out and he helped everyone. You know, there was no background checks. The 10 lepers didn't come to Jesus and he said, okay, who is Jewish? Okay, well, okay, I'll help you guys, but no, I'm not going to help you because you're a Samaritan. You know, Jesus did and acted without any form of discrimination whatsoever. One of the good things, and again, our governments do positive things every so often, but one of the good things is that the government now mandates that, particularly if they're funding you in any form, that it should be without any form of discrimination, that it has to be open to everyone. And that's right and proper. The ministry of the church needs to be open to everyone. You know, it doesn't involve background checks before we say you can have an encounter with God. It's a universal thing. And it's right and proper that it should be that way. And that we should resist any attempt at trying to discriminate in terms of how we offer help and who we offer help to. Third thing we see in this story is that the person most unlikely is the one that comes back. And of all the individuals that Jesus helps and the one that he and the various ones that he reaches out to, it is the person that is furthest away from Jesus socially and culturally and religiously that is the one that comes back with gratitude. I find that fascinating. You know, sometimes, and again, ingratitude is always one of these things that we have to struggle with in life. But I find sometimes that those that you give the most to are sometimes the least grateful. You know, I've seen it in ministry, where sometimes we've helped people through really, really difficult times. We've given them a lot of resource, a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of support. And you think, yeah, these people are going to love us and stay in the church forever. And the minute they climb out of their situation, they're off. And you go, wow, what happened there? Or even worse, and again, I've seen this phenomenon. They actually become hypercritical. And you go, wow, what happened there? Somebody I was talking to once explained sometimes that particularly when people have gone through a difficult situation and you've journeyed with them, they need to leave for a fresh start so that they kind of can leave their past behind and move on to something else. And that's part of a phenomenon. But it's really difficult when you face that. And I think when Jesus looked at the 10 lepers and the one that came back, he was struggling, I think, with his own emotions. The own emotions that kind of said, surely if we do ministry, people will be grateful. And if they're grateful, they will love you maybe, but they'll certainly love God and be grateful to God. And yet sometimes you can minister and you can pour yourself out and people aren't grateful to you. In fact, they might even be negative about you. And they're certainly not grateful to God. And that's tough to deal with. See, the truth is in ministry, not everything works out the way you want it to. And part of the problem of the Gospels is that sometimes as we read them, we only read the successes and we don't read the failures. And there are occasionally failures in the Gospels, but not that many. And we kind of get locked into, because we have the success-driven culture. So even again, when we do ministry, it's like, how effective are you? How many people have you, lives have you changed? How much have you done X or Y or Z? And again, don't get me wrong, I think it's appropriate for those checks and balances to be there. But sometimes we get so success-driven, we think that that's the only way that the gospel works in terms of success. And so we struggle to deal with failure. We really do. And there are theologies out there that are we call them prosperity theologies, which is that if you are not being successful, you're not doing what God wants, and that's why you're not being successful. Because if you're doing God's work, surely you will be successful. And I want to suggest to you that this story suggests that sometimes we can do God's work. We can do what God is calling us to and not be successful. Sometimes we can give ourselves and pour ourselves out and we can do all that is right. And instead of seeing a person turning around and being grateful to God and maybe grateful to you, you'll actually see the exact opposite. In this story, failure represents 90%. 90%. And I have to say that often when we do mission on the margins, and I loved the fact that we got Seal up to tell her story a couple of weeks ago. And I love those stories of success. And I would love to say that everybody we work with will end up where Seal ends up. But the truth is that when you do mission on the margins, you're confronted with more failure than you are with success. And that's tough. And when you're confronted with failure, you're confronted with two things. You've got to deal with your own feelings. And I guess we sort of see Jesus dealing with it in this story. He's sort of saying, where are these guys? You know, only one's come back. You can have a tendency as you do ministry, particularly mission on the margins where you're working with individuals and you're not seeing much return in terms of that ministry, and you're certainly not got stories of success to bring to Sunday morning and tell the church. And you can become jaded and hard-hearted. And worse still, you can start to develop the attitude of what's the point? What's the point? what difference am I really making? You know, why bother healing the lepers if none of them actually are grateful to God and grateful to us? What's the point of that? And you start to get discouraged, you get disillusioned, and then you begin to withdraw into your own little shell. And you say, I'll only do things where I know we'll be successful. Again, great temptation for a church. And I'll only do things with nice people when I know we'll have a good return. And as a church, that becomes a very easy thing to buy into. The other problem with failure is it's difficult to deal with the voices of others, you know, which surround us. Because sometimes when we confront failure, you know, you hear the voices of others saying, what a waste. Do you realize how much our church spent on this ministry? And nobody's grateful to God? Do you realize how much energy and effort? Couldn't we have done that better? What a waste. You know, we told you. We told you when you started that drug program, it's just not going to work. We told you that emphasizing or working with the homeless was a bad idea because we just don't have sufficient resource in the church. And worse still, there's an inference that you're useless. You know, the sense that if you are a failure in ministry, then you are useless because the failure is somehow your fault. And again, dealing with those kinds of voices is tough. And as a church, if you're going to do ministry on the margins, you need to learn to deal with your own feelings, and you also need to deal with the feelings of others. And it's the hardest place to be. You know, there's a story, and we know that Jesus had his own critics. In his own story, I was actually half toying with doing Judas this morning as an example of ministry failure. But you know, Judas, we're told that Judas objected to Jesus on several points because he felt that Jesus' appropriation of resources, the way the resources were spent, was sometimes wrong. And he took real exception and obviously was, you know, I'm sure they probably had discussions, they're not there in the New Testament, but discussions about, you know, what you're doing. And I find it interesting in this story to see Jesus' responses to this failure. First of all, Jesus demonstrates a celebration of the success. So despite the failures, there was a success. There was one success. And so what we see Jesus doing is he highlights that success. And he declares, you know, I have seen faith at work in this situation. Faith does make a difference. Look at this Samaritan who has come back and been thankful. And so Jesus is saying, you know, and he's talking about faith, but being faithful. And that faithful has two ideas. It's the idea of being faithful to the task, because God's called me to this task. And I know that Jesus, if you read on, you'll see that Jesus still ministers and heals lepers because he knows that's his job. And he celebrates the successes when he sees it because he says this is a demonstration of that faith being worked out. But the other thing we see in this story is that he's still disappointed by the failures. And that's interesting. He's still disappointed by the failures. Why is he still disappointed by the failures? Because he actually believes in God. He actually still is full of faith. You see, we've got to be faithful in doing what God calls us to do, but we've also still got to be faithful, full of faith, in doing that faithfulness. No, it shouldn't just be a matter of, oh, we'll go and do this because we're meant to do this, but we don't think anything will happen. We do it with the anticipation that God is real and that God can work and that God can change this situation. You know, and sometimes we don't see that. We recognize that. But nonetheless, God can still make a difference. Why do we work in the areas that we work as a church? Because we want to be faithful. One, we want to do the call to the margins, but we also do want to do it full of faith, with the anticipation that God can still work. And that means when we see failures, we don't just say, oh, that's what happens. Or we don't just say, you know, we told you so. We're disappointed. Because we know that God can make a difference, and we haven't seen it here. But we don't give up. We turn around and we say, our God is our God, and He can work. And so in the face of disappointment, the face of failure, the face of struggle, we affirm that we will be a faithful people, a people who will do what God has called us to do, but we'll do that anticipating that God will move. In a few weeks' time, we're going to have a gift day. And I'm asking the church to support, you know, our ministries, the whole life of our church. And part of the function of the gift day is to do that. And we've been highlighting some of the mission on the margins that are supported through the generosity of the church. But the reason I ask you to support this church is not because you've to be faithful, but I think you should be. that it's something that's part of discipleship and the regular management of our money is part of what we do. But I do it also because I call us to be a faithful people, a people full of faith, to actually believe that God can work and that maybe despite failures, maybe despite disappointments, that God can still work. That God can still work in our communities, that God can still transform lives of people on the margins, and that God can still work in this community as we go into the future. I believe that's how Jesus responded to disappointment. He showed his faithfulness and his belief in his Father and the work of his Father. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and for the challenge of the 10 lepers. We thank you for your example. Lord, I know that many of us are facing challenges in our lives. Lord, we recognize failures. Some of us face failures in terms of our own families and disappointments. Lord, some of us face failures in terms of our own social circles. And people we know. Some of us face failures in terms of ministry. Lord, I pray that in all of these situations, you would help us to be a faithful people. You would help us to be faithful in the roles that you have called us to carry out. And you would help us be faithful, full of faith, as we believe in you and your work in our lives and in the lives of our community. God, help this church be a faithful people. We ask this in your name. Amen.